Welcome to the Be Ruthless Show, where we have the conversations that other people don't. The conversations that other people won't. I'm your host, Sam Ruth, and I'm ready to make a lot of noise and disrupt things, ruthlessly. Thanks for being here today. Now let's get to it. Welcome back to the Be Ruthless Show. I'm your host, Sam Ruth, and thank you for joining me during these holiday episodes where so many people deserve time off, but so many others are still struggling, and I did not want to take a break from episodes that many, many people need during the difficult holidays that so many others think are just easy and simple. So what I decided to do is give you highlights from Healing Together Through the Holidays, which was Grief Hab's first annual event during National Grief Awareness Week. And no one knows National Grief Awareness Week exists. So during that week, with an extra eighth day of bonus material, because I couldn't squeeze it all into one week, I featured over 50 speakers from all over sharing their different types of loss and all the different ways that they have learned to get through it, all the different resources and all the different modalities. So I selected some of the most powerful talks. They're all extremely powerful, but some of the ones that I have gotten a ton of feedback about, that they were really easy to watch and get through, while others were a little bit more triggering and led to some emotions. And maybe we want something that we can get through without getting really into our feelings, something that gave us quick, simple tools to use right away, and something that can apply to all different kinds of loss. So while I think you can tune into absolutely any talk from the event, which is still available, even though the live part of it is over, the library is still there. You can click the links, register, and access all of that material. Because the holidays are still happening, people are still struggling, and these resources help. So these talks are just some of the ones that really hit home with people dealing with all different types of things. So thank you for being a part of this community and being a part of what helps me get through my world without Jim physically here. I hope that this will inspire you to please, please share these resources with people in your world, because people do struggle silently. Grief never ends, but it is invisible. Consider sharing the awareness calendar that has not only National Grief Awareness Week, but all of the awareness days and weeks and months that this world needs to be acknowledging and devoting more time and energy to, and more resources, and having a calendar on the wall that reminds you of International Widows Day. You know, maybe that makes you think of calling someone who is a widow and who can just use a little extra support. It means so, so much. And there's hundreds in here. I'll just pick another. World Suicide Prevention Day. So, so many days and dates. Grab yours, share the event, share the calendar, share the resources, and I hope you will enjoy these highlights and go look and listen to all of the other talks. Until next time, always be ruthless. See you soon. Welcome back. Thanks for bearing with us. I'm not the only one who has tech problems. It's generational. It's our age. Joining us is Dave Stevens, and we couldn't even get his bio to me, so I'm letting him introduce himself. Thank you for your patience, everyone.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Sorry about the screw up. I've been on the road for last weekend. My name is Dave Stevens. My bio and background is I was born without legs, put up for adoption at birth, but I overcame that. And as you can see, I'm sitting on the ground here in my living room and in front of the studio, the podcast that we have. But my life story is really amazing, and I'm really excited to share it today. And hopefully you guys can take a little bit away of my life and take a look at the world of the disabled or the handicapped or whatever we label it, and realize there is a big difference in what we label people and what they are inside. So thank you, Samantha, for letting me be a part of this. I don't know if you have something to add or I can begin.
You can begin.
All right. Well, I'm going to share some video today as I talk about my life. And it's been an amazing life, as I said, from the start. And let's see, we'll go ahead here and pop this up. But and we'll hit play. So born in 1966 in Phoenix, Arizona, without legs, put up for adoption. So there's strike one and strike two. But I was adopted and taken in by a loving couple, a World War II veteran and a housewife who raised me and instilled in me that I could be anything that I wanted to be. So I had a normal life growing up, doing the normal things that kids do, except we were poor. And you don't realize it in the moment when you're poor, but I had love and I had support. And so I had such a normal life. And as you can see, I started wearing artificial legs at a very young age. It was one of those things where the Shriners got with me and here I am performing. I think I was 3 or 4 years old. I used to sing and tell jokes and do all those kind of things that would help raise money and awareness for the Shriners. But like I said, I had a normal growing up period that I was in Cub Scouts. I went to church. I was in plays. I wore ugly shirts like this that my parents didn't realize they bought them at Goodwill. I thought it was a fancy shirt. Turned out it was a used tuxedo, but in the disco era, it worked for me. So I was just like any other fresh-blooded kid, American, but we moved a lot. And as I said, we were poor. And this is the house that I grew up in Whitman, Arizona, just outside of Wickenburg. It was a one-room house. And that's the house that I lived in. It didn't quite look like that when I lived in it, but again, didn't have a bedroom. We had to create an area that I kind of had a bedroom in the back. And a couple of years ago, I had the chance to take my three sons from Connecticut with me to Arizona. And my oldest son said, "Dad, why did you choose to live here?" And I said, "Brady, I didn't choose where I wanted to live, but I could choose where I wanted to end up." And that's when I decided to let sports get me where I wanted to be. So I started playing high school football in Wickenburg, Arizona, becoming the only legless high school football player in the history of sports. And because I had those successes, it got me on a TV show called That's Incredible. And I continued to play other sports like wrestling. Here I am running on my hands like I used to back in the day. And I was a really good wrestler. It turned out I had the advantage against you leggies because I knew what to do against you guys, and you guys didn't know what to do against me, and it helped me to invent some amazing moves. Here's my WWE flip move that I used to use to kind of fake people out and let them realize that I could win. And because of that, it led to more successes in baseball, which was my greatest sport. So it gave me an opportunity to play baseball in Wickenburg. And I ran on my hands. I hit the ball. I don't know why this video is glitching up. It looks like it's not playing well. But that was me running on my hands, me playing in the outfield, starting as a right fielder. And if you could imagine telling coaches, the parents of kids with two legs, that a guy without legs could beat you out. But it led to college football and me becoming the only college football player without legs in the history of college football. This is myself in action in Augsburg University in Minnesota. I played 3 years there. It also led to a tryout with the Dallas Cowboys. If you can believe that, in 1990, I had the opportunity to go to Dallas and try out for the Cowboys. Obviously, I didn't make the team, but again, doing something that no one has ever done at the time and done since, playing, you know, football or trying to play professional football without legs. And so it instilled in me that these things could get me to my dreams. And in 1996, I also became the only guy without legs ever to play minor league baseball for the St. Paul Saints. An opportunity to also be teammates with a guy named Daryl Strawberry, who was trying to make it back to the big leagues. You can see him standing there in the background behind me in the outfield. And we became friends. In fact, there's a Netflix movie that just came out called The Saint of Second Chances. And our friendship is a big part of that story, a big part of that narrative. And it's a beautiful story. Shows Daryl and I became friends. Here's a video of me actually pinch hitting for Daryl Strawberry in a minor league game. But the reality was my career was going to be in television. I spent 20 years at the worldwide leader in sports at ESPN. I won 7 Emmys, and now I continue to do things to inspire people at my old age. I go and I put on sports camps for disabled kids, but I still have the opportunity to work out with minor league teams along the way when we put these camps on, and they can see that I'm able to do the things that I do. It's also allowed me to play flag football before 70,000 fans in Lambeau Field a couple of years ago, never dreaming that I would get to participate at halftime of a Packers-Dolphins game, and getting to do the things that I love now as far as interviews and talking to celebrities like Aaron Rodgers and Gronkowski and all the people that I do where I get to work with in my life with the Disability Channel, Ability Media, and the chances to go to Super Bowls and hang out with a guy like JB Smoove, who gets me to do things I don't normally do. Like, hey, Dave, get out of your chair, get down and dance with me. And I'm sorry this video is glitching up. I'm not sure why it's looks like it's playing weird on my phone, but you get the idea of what my life has been. And I try to showcase that if people are going to stare at me, I'm going to give them something to look at and give them a show, which leads to me continuing to do sports broadcasts and presentations around the country at professional fields and getting to know athletes and getting to have relationships and friendships with guys like Russell Wilson. And as I said, getting to know a guy like Rob Gronkowski and becoming friends with him and his brothers. And now we travel all over the country and we see each other and we get together at Super Bowls and charity events and things like that. So I am so blessed. I'm so lucky to do the things that I've done. And there's no real how to play sports or how to do these kind of things in life for dummies. I just had to go out and evolve. And because of my tenaciousness to overcome the odds and to showcase what people can do rather than what they can't do, it's led to a lot of successes that takes me all over the world, talking to a lot of great people, celebrities, non-celebrities, and interacting and putting on a new organization here at Quinnipiac University called Abilities Media, where we teach kids and students and people with disabilities how to do TV, how to learn how to shoot, how to write. And I've had the opportunity to take kids to the Super Bowl the last couple of years from Quinnipiac University and give them and immerse them in the experience of what it's like to be at television, something that sometimes it takes 20 to 30 years in this business to get to. And yet I can continue to give these kids opportunities to learn things that they wouldn't normally do at a normal college. And I'm so proud and so happy for the things that I've been able to do in my life and interview guys like the late Coolio, who was such a fun guy to be around. And I'm also not afraid to make fun of myself and to do silly things that showcase that I do have a sense of humor. Like here I am in one of the carts at the airport. But you know, I also do things outside the box. Like this is a video of me in Las Vegas. I did a stand-up act in Las Vegas this year. And hardest thing I've ever had to do is tell jokes for 25 minutes, but it was fun. And once they got over the shock of a guy doing sit down instead of stand up, I like to just showcase things that are funny. And people think with people with disabilities don't like to be involved in jokes. Like this was last year at the Texas Rangers. I'm playing in a softball game. I'm working with these two wrestlers and they said, let's do this little skit. So the wrestler body slams one guy and then he ends up body slamming me. And there's 15,000 people in the stands going crazy, not believing what they're seeing. But as I said, if you can't make fun of yourself, you shouldn't be making fun of others. And I'm not against doing things or trying the things that everybody else does, you know, being a human claw or here playing a little golf. Again, a handicap is something that you want in golf, and being able to go to TPC and hit a putt on the very first time I tried, I'm not against trying to do anything. And like I said, the continuing things that I get to do with minor league teams, working out, showcasing these professional players, that if a guy without legs can do the things I've done, then what is their excuse? You know, what is the motivation if they see others who have it less fortunate? They should go out and really try to utilize all of the gifts and the tools that they have in their repertoire. So I also put on sports camps for disabled kids, and I'm not against going out there and showing them how an old guy has that technique, and just having fun with these kids, teaching a guy just like me without legs to learn how to run on his hands and how to do push-ups and how to do the things that I did so there can be another Dave Stevens. Because when the kids see me, they want to get down on the ground. They want to walk with me. They say being copied is one of the most sincere forms of flattery. So when I see these kids get down, or I'm not afraid to get down and work out with kids with severe disabilities at the baseball camps and football camps and all the things that I get to do traveling around the country, giving back. And my biggest concern is teaching empathy instead of sympathy. Like, here's Lily, a girl who is blind, who wanted to learn how to hit a baseball. And she said, well, if I hit a baseball, are you going to take me around the bases? So here's a guy without legs leading a girl who is blind around the bases. And it's just very heartwarming when you see these kind of things at these camps, because nobody's staring at us. We're all handicapped. We're all disabled, and we can just be. Not having legs is my normal. And people who have disabilities, that's their normal. It's society who labels us as handicapped or disabled. You know, a car is disabled, a human being is not. And as I said, a handicap is something that you want in golf, but not in life. But when you see these camps and the just the joy that a child has done for the first time he's caught a baseball or gone outside and played an able-bodied sport just like everybody else, it's very heartwarming, and it's very worthwhile to me and to the success of the charities and the things that I do. And so that's allowed me to continue to grow my brand and put on sports camps around the country. Like this year at the Super Bowl in Arizona, I got to go to my hometown and put on a football camp for disabled kids and have the community turn out and just, you know, come out and embrace football for everybody. And I don't think enough teams and leagues and things embrace the disabled or handicapped world to give them the opportunity. They have brains, they have the ability to like, and they have the ability to be a fan. And I think if NFL, baseball, and all these other entities would just realize that we are fans too, they could open up more opportunities, make sure things that are more accessible in stadiums, because stadiums are really not accessible to the disabled world. And if they are, there are always seats that are really far away, you know, up in the concourse and stuff like that. So we're doing a better job of educating, but we need to have the opportunity to include everybody. And, you know, that includes the adaptive clothing world, where I'm also a model and a spokesman for Runway of Dreams. This is me hamming it up on The View last year, where I get to showcase t-shirts and shirts that have buttons on them that are just snaps or Velcro and not like the normal clothes. And it allows people with disabilities to dress and feel and get that confidence despite not having clothing opportunities like everybody else. And as I said, I've got a national podcast that you can find on every platform possible. It's also on TV. This is from the Super Bowl last year with Earl Campbell and Tony Dorsett. Our show is mostly celebrities and stars, and I get old friends from ESPN and a lot of famous people to come on, and you'd be amazed at the people that we can get to come on the Gary Stein and Steven show. But the most important thing in my life is my three sons. I have three teen sons that I'm raising and trying to instill in them and balance what it's like to be a father without legs, but also to give them the most normal life possible as a teen. And I'm so proud of them and proud of the men that they've turned into. And so now they can go out and realize that people with disabilities are just like dad. And that's kind of what it's all about, is just doing the right thing and being able to showcase what people can do. And so that's kind of a little bit about my life. As I said, it's not rocket science. It's not, wow, my camera's back. Woohoo! It's not rocket science. It's just what I am. It's the core of who I am. And if I can leave people with something tangible, it's always to go out and try and fail, to set those dreams, to make sure that you every day have some sort of goal that you're trying to achieve. If it's just getting up out of bed, and if you have a disability, it's trying to figure out if you can get a job or get included in other things in life. Because I'm so blessed, and I am not like a lot of the people with disabilities that you see in this world, because I've made my own opportunities. And nowadays we have a lot of rights and a lot of groups and a lot of people that are really battling for us. But as I said, we are the biggest minority in the world and we have the smallest voice. And we need more people to not only be educated, but to realize the value that people with disabilities have. You don't need legs to be a detective. You can utilize your brain. You don't need legs to be able to build an air defense system or help our military. And we don't give those opportunities to people with disabilities, thinking we have to have people with able-bodied working in production or in management. And, you know, I was one of the first disabled people ever at ESPN. And it was weird because managers didn't know how to treat somebody that was on crutches. Do I judge them and rate them like everybody else? Are they oversensitive if I talk to them? And so I had to go out and one, establish that I was really good at my job, and two, let them realize it's okay to manage us just like everybody else. And you might have a disability where you might need outside the box thinking as far as if there's light sensitivity or if there's other things that we deal with in the seen and unseen disabled world. And I was able to help ESPN realize that there was some value to me and to open up opportunities for more and more disabled people out there, because we recognize the disabled world with, I think, national Handicap Employment Awareness Month, which is like October or something like that. And guess what? We need jobs and opportunities 365 days a year, not just once a month. And everybody gets caught up in the moment. And our world has kind of taken a back seat in the last few years because of what's taken place in the world with George Floyd and all these other horrible things that have happened with shootings and things like that, where the word inclusion has kind of left us with a disability out. Inclusion now sometimes means more about race or ethnicity or your sexual orientation. And we've kind of kicked out the disabled world, and we're still looking for that word that includes us and everything, because we do have value. And there are more and more and more of us out there that are growing up and having opportunities to utilize technology to speak or to write or to do more and more. And so I'm hoping, you know, while this world and this country is messed up, there are going to be more opportunities if people can see a Dave Stevens or a Shaquem Griffin who played football with one hand, or Jim Abbott, who pitched in the major leagues with one hand. And I know these are sports references, but we don't showcase those with disabilities out there. Unless you're Nick Vukacic, the motivational speaker, there's not a lot of people in the limelight, in the media, on television, behind the scenes, writing and producing and doing all the things that I've done in television. And so now I try to just give it back. I'm a professor, as I said, at Quinnipiac University, teaching ability media. I work with Easter SEALs, and I teach TV and media to veterans who have been injured and wounded and their families to help give them something to look forward to. And we just won an award for our training sessions with Easter SEALs here by the state. So I'm really proud of that. And again, giving those veterans something to tangibly have hope for, and to not worry about the PTSD or the depression that causes suicide. So I may be an anomaly, but there are a lot more of us out there. And as media and mainstream starts to realize that, we're going to hopefully change our opportunities. You know, we had the Oscar winning movie last year was based on the entire cast being deaf. So we're getting there a little bit by little bit, but having the opportunity to talk to people and to let them realize that, hey, if this guy Dave can do all these things without legs and you know, get Emmys and do all the stuff that I've been able to do, there's no excuse for people to go out there and to try to emulate or do more and to achieve bigger greatness. You know, we are messed up in politics right now. I would like to see more people with disabilities get in politics and have those opportunities. You know, we need to build and fix what's here in the United States before we look elsewhere in the world. And I'm just hoping that going forward, whoever gets put into office or whoever is your local politicians will really start to advocate more for the rights of the disabled, and not just once a year or one day a year that we look at and recognize those things. And as I say, going forward, you know, a lot of you out there, I call you leggies, as I said, you know, look at life differently, look outside the box. And if you notice things, you can help other people. If you take a look at when you go to a store or you go somewhere and you notice, why isn't this accessible? Why isn't there a ramp here? That elevator is in a horrible place for access. We've changed a lot in the last couple of years because of COVID. Next time you go to Walmart or Target or one of those stores, notice that they've put those COVID lanes where they bring out your stuff. They took the handicapped spots, moved them outside, and brought all of these other parking lots, because I think they felt people needed to get their stuff quicker. But if the stuff's being brought outside, chances are it's somebody with legs who can push that cart, and they could go a little farther rather than the convenience of being 30 seconds closer. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. I like to open it up for questions if anybody has anything. I would love for you guys to follow me and see all the cool stuff I do on social media for the Abilities Expo, which is where I was this weekend, which is an expo showcasing products and vendors and everything for the disabled world. It's been great to become a part of their world and to give opportunities to people that don't see things that can enhance their lives. And follow me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, X or Twitter or whatever we call it, LinkedIn, even TikTok. I'll do silly stuff, but you can see my everyday life and put those kind of things in perspective. I don't have the numbers that a lot of people out there have. I don't understand, because the content I'm putting out is beautiful, wonderful people. And, you know, we live in this 7-second TikTok world where we'd rather see things about Taylor Swift and a football player rather than people that are actually making a difference in life. So go to Dave Stevens Speaks on all social media platforms. Follow me if you want to interact or message me or want to know more. I'm also available to be in person to do longer presentations and to talk more in depth about my challenges. But you have to change your mindset. You have to start looking at people like myself and realizing that you all out there have those gifts. You all have that same intelligence. It's a matter of if you use it, and it's a matter of if you have that confidence. I can't instill confidence in people, but I can let them see by example, because it's been my philosophy since I was a little kid. If you're going to stare at me, I might as well give you a show. And I've tried to give the best show as possible for every aspect of my life, because I know people are staring me at every given day. At any given moment, there's a guy without legs. You just don't see that every day. So what I hope is people see me, see my smile, and realize that, wow, that guy does have some value. And there must be other people out there. The next time I meet them, I will engage in them and realize that worth. So set those goals. Realize that there are people that have it out there way worse than you every day in life. Don't bitch and moan about the little things when you see my world and the people that I deal with on a daily basis, because I am so blessed. You know, I wouldn't want to have been born any other way. People say, would you like to have legs? Would you like to try it? And I would say no. I mean, you know, it's weird, and I feel like I'm bragging, but, you know, I've tried out for the Dallas Cowboys, the Minnesota Twins, the Cincinnati Reds, the Olympic baseball team. I played in the same outfield with Barry Bonds. I played football in New Zealand and Australia overseas. You know, I continued to have opportunities around the world and around the country to do these kind of things. So, you know, that's nothing compared to what you guys can do. Everybody out there, you set those goals, you achieve those goals, and sometimes you fail. But you learn by failure. It's better to try and fail than to sit around daydreaming and wishing and, oh, I should have asked that girl out, or I should have tried for that job, or I should have, you know, gone to college and taken a few of these classes in that. So, you know, continue to chase those dreams, continue to set those goals on a daily basis, and you'll do well in life.
You've touched on so many things. People in the audience who know me know this is special. As a sports fan, you've talked about ESPN, you've talked about the Dallas Cowboys, you've talked about Tony Dorsett, so many things that matter, but that's not what this is about. You've talked about awareness days that the world doesn't talk about. You've talked about limb loss and limb difference awareness month. These are the things the world needs to be talking about. These are all on a calendar that now you can be talking about, and people with names bigger than ours. The world doesn't discuss these topics. We are dismissed populations, not just National Grief Awareness Week. Disabled, you're right. COVID has replaced the conversations. I had not even thought about that. You mentioned helping somebody who is unable to see. Jim, one of my dear new relationships, Jim's organ recipient, had not been able to see for 15 years of her life. She received his corneas and can see. We have people who cannot hear. These are disabilities that matter, that we need to be talking about, and are not. So thank you for everything you do and bringing the awareness. What else can we do besides hang a calendar on a wall and look at a day and talk about it on that day?
Well, it depends on, you know, this wonderful audience. And again, thank you all for joining into this conversation. And if you do have questions or want to ask anything, just feel free. But, you know, it has to take place from those of you that are bosses or in positions to hire people or know of people in your world and to just give them those opportunities. Because as I said, there are all kinds of different situations, but we get judged on that. And the problem is nowadays businesses could have that resume of a couple of people in front of you. And sometimes they might see, oh, they have Tourette's or they have this. And who knows if what excuses those companies can say that you weren't the most qualified candidate, you know, and that's the kind of thing that we'll never know because a lot of companies just don't want to deal with it. If you imagine if you had a candidate in a wheelchair and a candidate not in a wheelchair and you didn't have the accommodations for their desks or an elevator to get them somewhere, that boss is easily say, well, that other person isn't qualified because all they just don't want to deal with those problems. And I think that's been one of the bigger parts of the challenges of getting us those equal opportunities is we don't know what goes behind the scene. There isn't really a checks and balances for it. You know, I think certain companies have to reach a quota for purposes for taxes. And so you get the token or two of somebody at a receptionist or, but the meaningful jobs, we will never know unless there's the checks and balances or some sort of opportunity, much like the NFL has with a horrible rule called the Rooney Rule, where African-American coaches are supposed to be entitled to get interviews, yet the teams continue to hire the white guys. And there's no repercussion and no one's held accountable when the better qualified black head coach candidates don't get those jobs. And that's the same parallel for the disabled world as far as those opportunities for us. And I think everybody out there, you know, we don't do protests in the street and we don't do walks in Washington and we don't do all these kind of things that many of the other rights activists and things like that do. As I said, we're the smallest minority in the world. And the worst part of that is, you know, if you're born black, you're born black. If you're Japanese, you're Japanese. We can't join those worlds, but any given moment you can join the world of the disabled. You can become handicapped. And although we don't want you in our club, we have to embrace you because it's important to us to help teach those that become disabled, the veterans that I work with that lose limbs and all the people that I deal with, to continue to showcase, give them those opportunities. There are a lot of veterans coming home that could use jobs and opportunities out there that are missing arms and legs and have gone through PTSD, and we're not embracing those enough. But we do want to help those as much as we don't want you in our world. There's no changing. So as long as those people can go out and you know, yeah, advocate or whatever, you know, everybody in November or October posts, yes, it's national and whatever. I think yesterday was it national, I don't know, a day of disability. You know, there's all these things every day that kind of go along with National Chocolate Soda Day and all these kind of things. Like, they don't mean anything unless we have a call to action that actually puts things in place. It's nice, but that's just the month we feel good. And, oh, I shared this and I like this and I did my part, but it's not enough. Not enough until you are figuring out if they have the right transportation or the right health care or the right frame of mind mentally, and get those supports, all those kind of things out there, the advocates. So yeah, this world, these people on here, you know, just figure out the best way for employment opportunities. And if you know somebody with a disability and you see a job, you know, then send it their way. If it's on LinkedIn, if it's on whatever platform that you see jobs and opportunities, let's get out there. Let's start shaking those trees and give everybody more and more opportunities out there.
And now for my turn to those of you watching who are dealing with grief, any type of grief, my turn to say it has been added to the diagnostic manual. It is considered an illness, a mental illness, no different than anxiety or depression. So I fight every day for someone, whether it is at a school or at an office, at an employer's, that it's an invisible disability. And people don't like the word because disability has a stigma. It has, you know, judgments and things attached, but grief comes with changes in our sleep, changes in our ability to perform, changes in our brain, changes in our nervous system. And so there are people who need support. Support is available, and you need an advocate in your corner, even if you're in the field, because advocating for yourself is not responded to the same way. You need someone neutral, and you need someone to help speak the language neutrally without the emotion attached. Because the rights are there and it isn't visible. So people don't take it seriously. They don't believe it lasts. Grief never ends. But people expect us to be able to perform and do the same things. You might be able to do it better than me very easily, you know?
And to your point, Samantha, you know, I've dealt with grief a lot. My adoptive parents, my mom died the day I left for college in 1984 from cancer, and they hid it from me because they knew I wouldn't go to college if I was sticking around to watch my mom die. And then my dad died a year and a half later. So I lost that support, and that grief turned really horrible for me because, and I don't talk about this a lot, but I turned to drugs for a year and a half to try to block it, to mask it. I started doing cocaine and things that my parents wouldn't have approved of. But I was able to get support and to you know, beat those demons and go back to college and you know, play football and do all those things. But, you know, grief leads to depression if you can't beat that. And depression is a disease. It's something that you do need to get fixed. It makes you disabled. It makes you not want to do things and get out of bed and causes suicide and causes, you know, so many life changes. So dealing with grief, you know, people also get embarrassed because they don't want to let people know that they're hurting or that they are embarrassed as far as how they feel, that they don't want to get out of bed in the morning and they just stay in bed for weeks and call out sick and make up excuses why they can't talk to people or see loved ones. And those are also the ones that, you know, the world of disability has so many things, and it's I hate being labeled handicapped because, you know, if you're blind, you're blind. If you're deaf, you're deaf. If like everything has something, you know, that we all have issues with us, but that's also our normal. My not having legs is my normal. And you just have to figure out the best way to figure out how you can live that normal. And don't let people judge you based on, like I said, your looks, your gender, your religion, your politics, any of those kind of things. But if you do have that grief and you do need that support, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, there are numbers to call. There are places to get help from, or just reach out to your closest friends or family and just say, hey, I'd like to talk about this. Or, you know, have you ever been through this? Or what did you do in this situation? Or, hey, I have a friend who's going through this, you know, make it up and just pretend. But seek help, seek guidance, because grief, you know, there's supposedly 7 stages, but it's debilitating. And I think we all go through those processes. And like I said, you know, no matter what the lowest points of my life was, I was hoping that glimmer of hope, there was always that something at the end of that rainbow that I could look forward to. And it just took a little bit to get there. But now I can say that I still get depressed. I still, you know, I miss my parents. I go through, you know, those phases where you just wish they were in your life. And, you know, I haven't had them in my life for, you know, 40 years. But all of the things that you go through, you know, grief isn't just about death. It's about your job. It's about your employment. It's about relationships with your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or significant other. You know, all these kind of things can trigger it. And I think we're getting better as a society. But again, if you don't ask for help, you don't get help, you're not going to get any better.
And to those, I'm so glad you brought up all the different relationships. Back to the cultures, at school, at work, to the leaders. If you're not at a place that you feel you can ask for that support, I have people calling me from bathrooms and cars and calling in sick, like you said, because they're afraid of getting fired or failing a class or getting judged. So if you're in a position where you can bring someone in to create that culture, if you're in a position where you can change that, that's what this event is about. We do not talk about these things in this world, and people are afraid of being themselves, of talking about their true feelings. People here, we started earlier with somebody saying, not having the best day. And that is how I live my life. I can't fake it when I'm not okay. And other people have to. And if we could all have people in places where we can be real. I've said it all week through this event. We can have a stomach ache. We need to be able to have emotional stomach aches, especially when people don't have the words. How can people find you, connect with you, the Gary Stein Stevens podcast? Where else?
Just Google Dave Stevens Speaks. And like I said, you can see my fun adventures. There's humor, there's emotion, there's all kinds of stuff. Like I said, I was at the Abilities Expo this week showcasing some amazing products that the disabled world isn't educated in, and again, giving them opportunities to seek a better life, for improvement, and for also the caretakers. And it, you know, people with disabilities aren't the only one who get depressed either. I mean, if you imagine having to take care of somebody with Alzheimer's or having to take care of, so, you know, it's not, this isn't just about a disability thing. It's about a life thing. And so, you know, as I said, when, you know, think about in the future, when you think you're having your worst day, think about those that have it way worse off. Or, you know, what would Dave Stevens do? What would he think about that? What would he overcome? What would he do? You know, my body's breaking down. I turn 58 next month. I've torn my rotator cuff 3 times. You know, there was, nobody told me how life was going to be getting older for somebody without legs as I progressively break down. And, you know, you see the video of me running on my arms and doing all those kind of things. And now, for me, it's just tough to get in and out of a car. It's, you know, I fly all the time and dealing with getting in and off a plane and all those kind of things. And, you know, I could be depressed and I could be sad about it, but I look to the thing that's driven me. My mantra is, you know what? As long as I can do what I can do, I'm going to give 100% every day in life. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live my life and let people just see me for me. I learned as a kid, early on, and people ask, did you have prejudice? Did you have people that made fun of you? And hold on 1 second. I'll grab this. So my senior year of baseball, I came up to bat. You know, we were trailing in the game. This game was to make the state playoffs. And I came up to bat. We were on the road facing our biggest team that we, you know, our biggest rival in the state, Parker. And I came up to bat with the bases loaded. And I'll never forget, there was this big, heavy set gentleman, think about 400 pounds. And he was wearing like a wife beater t-shirt that had yellow stains in the armpits and just chest hair, you know. And all of a sudden he starts screaming, "This is cheap baseball. This guy's a freak. He shouldn't be playing. This isn't fair. This guy's a midget. He's blah, blah, blah." And he is just expounding all this hate. And all the parents are looking at this guy and they start sliding away and moving away from this parent. And I'm sitting in the batter's box and I look at my coach and this guy is just relentless. "He's a freak. This isn't fair. He should be banned from baseball." And I look at my coach and I'm like, "What should I do?" And my coach says, "Get into the batter's box." So I get into the batter's box and I get ready and I'm just nervous. And this guy is still screaming all these obscenities at me. So, and I'll never forget that first pitch. And again, I got a low strike zone because my butt's on the ground. That first pitch was in the dirt, but that second pitch was right here where my head, I loved the ball. And I'll never forget at that moment, I saw that ball and I just said, "Not this time." And I swung with everything that I had and I crushed that ball into the outfield. All three runners come around to score. I haul my butt down to first base. And as I got to first base, I turn on one arm and I said, "That's what I'm here for, you bleep, 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 bleep." So I think I've made this amazing, historic, fun moment where we might be going to the state playoffs. My coach comes running across the field. He comes over and he goes, "Stevens, get your butt in the dugout." And I said, "But what? Why, coach? I just drove in 3 runs." He goes, "Get your butt in the dugout." So I go crawling into the dugout. He puts in a pinch runner. He comes over to me and he goes, "Do you know why I took you out of the game?" And I said, "No, coach, what did I do?" He said, "When you got to first base and you started screaming obscenities at that person, you became that bully. Because when we get bullied in life and we get picked on in life, we always look for that person that's weaker around us so we can pick on them and we can make them feel." And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Always walk the talk. Always act like you've been there." And so to this day, when I hear the things that I hear and I see the things that I see, I don't overreact to those because I know ignorance isn't taught. You know, you just have it. And if we can educate people, and that guy in the stands, you know, I didn't let my actions be my words. So when people got home, they're like, "Oh, this big guy was screaming at this dude with no legs." And then the dude with no legs got to first and said words I hadn't even heard of before. So it was one of those kind of things where I ruined a beautiful moment where if I'd have just done my thing and walked away, everybody would have said, "Look at that jerk and look at what this amazing young man did." So from that moment on, I let my actions be my words. And I think people don't do that enough. They want to talk about, "Oh, I did this on this test, look at me," or "I'm the best person for that job." Let everybody else judge you that way. Don't go and tell everybody your merits or what you think. You know, just let your actions be your words. And that's why, you know, I'm so proud of the legacy that I'm leaving. You know, you can leave your legacy, but I'm leaving my legacy. And I want people to realize that, hey, this dude with no legs was able to do things that people have never done before and probably never will again. You know, I've been on That's Incredible, where I was on my artificial legs in the green room about to go on TV before 40 million people. And if you want to Google Dave Stevens and That's Incredible, the clip's out there. And I'm standing on my artificial legs in the green room, and this little four-year-old kid is chipping golf balls off my fake legs, just... And I'm nervous enough in my little, really bad looking suit. And I look at the dad of this little kid, and I'm like, hey, I'm nervous enough. Can you get him to stop? And the guy looks at his son and he says, Tiger, stop doing that. So it was a little four-year-old Tiger Woods that was chipping balls off of my fake legs. And the video, like I said, it's on YouTube. So you never know whose path you're going to cross. You know, I call myself, and please don't be offended, but I'm Forrest Gump. You know, I have lived this amazing life that people wouldn't believe the things that I've done, and to be crossing paths with a young Tiger Woods at that time. So you never know in your life who you're going to come across, as long as you treat them with respect and just realize that we all have a value in our life. And that's what I want everybody to take away today, that you all have value. You all have something that you can achieve, and if you need help and you have grief or you have depression or you have all these things, go out and seek that. Go out and try to fix yourself before it's too late, before we're talking about another statistic of somebody with a suicide or an accidental fentanyl overdose or whatever you might use to mask that depression, whatever you might use to mask that grief. It's a horrible, horrible situation right now where we have access to so many chemicals and things that can really hurt us rather than help us.
Last thing before we go, the camps.
Yeah, you guys can see the camps that we do. It's at d3day.com. I've got a couple of friends of mine, Doug Cornfield and Dave Clark, who is kind of like my story. He pitched in the minor leagues on crutches, a great story, just a superhuman being. Again, did something in the 70s without the internet. You know, if I had done what I've done, you know, and I was on the internet now and people saw it, you know, I would have, you know, Justin Bieber playing my life story or somebody like that, or The Rock, and they would CGI off The Rock's legs and he'd be out there doing all the things that I was doing. But, I'm very blessed. And, you know, you can go to d3day.com to check out the camps that we do for the disabled kids. And again, Dave Stevens speaks all over the country. I'm available and I love to tell my story.
But the camps are free, correct? If anybody here.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Thank you so much for your time, your story, being a part of this. Dave Stevens speaks.
And apologies for the early, apologies for the technical difficulties.
Oh my God. Blame me. I'm all technical difficulties. If you're connected to me, we have technical difficulties. Thank you so much. And we will be right back. Thanks so much for listening today. Your support means everything to me, truly. If this podcast resonates with you, please do me a favor and join in the Ruthless movement by making some noise and doing one of these four things. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Tell a friend so we can break stigmas even faster. Leave a review so people can see what you think of the show. And last, if you want to learn more about me and be a part of the Grief Hab community, please head on over to the Facebook group. We'd love to have you. Thanks again for spending your time with us, and see you next week.